comes the sun. Well, welcome back to the show. This is the EDF Renewables podcast. We're at it again. Two for one today. I've got Kevin, I've got Haley. Hey, Kevin, why don't you tell us from the beginning kind of what your part in the solar farms for Niagara County?
Yeah, hi, Mark. It's good to see you again. I'm a director of development with EDF Renewables, working from our Toronto office. I've been involved with the Ridgeview Solar Project right from the very beginning, back in 2019. So being part of the development team, I'm basically responsible for taking the project through the permitting stage, through the land acquisition stages, and to the point where it's ready to be handed over to the construction team, which is still a couple years away.
Do you stick around after that, or then you just move on to the next?
Yeah, after that, I still stick around, but the overall management of the project will lie with someone from our construction team. But I will continue to support from the development perspective through the construction phase of the project as well.
Wow. You see it all the way through. And Haley, how do you fit into all this?
Hi, Mark. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, again. Here we are again.
I'm Haley Farrington. I'm the Community Relations Manager at EDF Renewables. I'm working on all of our projects across New York State. However, the Ridgeview project is near and dear to my heart as I grew up in rural Niagara County. So, you know, the concerns of the community are ones that I can resonate with. And it's my job to really go into the community and make the most out of the project for that community. So I look at what needs are, what stakeholders might be interested in, and they try to bring those to reality. And I'm with the project for the life of the project, so my face will be around for many years to come.
It's great to have you. Now, the big news. Who wants to give the big news? Is that you, Kevin? You're gonna launch the big news?
Yeah, so we're happy to say that we were awarded a NYSERDA contract this year. It was our third try at securing a contract with NYSERDA. And what that means is the project now has a financial backing to proceed to construction and operation. So what we have with NYSERDA is a 20-year contract that provides us a certain revenue stream over the first 20 years of the project. And of course, as we've been indicating to the community, you know, the project should be operational for 30 years or more.
And NYSERDA stands for New York State. Yeah. I know that part. I'll take the easy part.
NYSERDA is the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority.
Okay.
And they're responsible for funding, providing resources and education for all levels of renewable energy development, from residential to municipalities to businesses. So they are a great resource out there for anyone, from energy efficiency to electric vehicles to renewable energy.
So the bottom line is it's backed by New York State. And that is absolutely huge. Nice. Nice. So, I mean, it's solid gold then. This thing's a go, Kevin. Congratulations, Kevin and Haley.
Still a lot of work to do.
Of course.
In the meantime, but,
this
was good news for the project team. And I know we've got a lot of landowners who are also very excited that the project is moving along. As I mentioned before, we've got more than 30 families signed up to this project to host facility components. And you know, when this project reaches the operational phase, you know, those families will have a more or less guaranteed revenue stream for 20, 30, 40 years. So it's huge for those families.
That's fantastic. So on to the community engagement. Haley, that's kind of your bag, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is never a one and done process. It's something that we look at as starting as soon as we think about the project, we get in touch with the local community, and we continue to have conversations through permitting, through design phases, to make sure we're constantly receiving feedback. coming at the end of July here, there will be a public meeting, which will be a great opportunity to learn more about the project and ask any questions to subject matter experts that you may have. In addition, we have project websites at ridgeviewsolar.com, which has, Mark, all of your amazing podcasts before that. And we also have a hotline at 1-833-333-7369 and an email that goes along with that at newyorksolar@edf-re.com. And feel free to call that at any time with any questions in the community. And again, that public meeting is going to be July 27th at the Heartland Fire Hall. For anyone wanting to know more information about the Ridgeview Project, an excellent resource is ridgeviewsolar.com. We have podcasts that were done with you, Mark, before.
Yay, me!
All kinds of subject experts, from battery storage to our local bee farmers to the sheep grazers. There's also videos of our local landowners supporting the project and general information as well.
That's a great place.
And if you would like to get in contact with one of our team members, we're readily available at the hotline 833-333-7369. And the email that goes along with that is newyorksolar@edf-re.com.
Fantastic. So tell us about the project benefits, Haley.
Sure. So this is something that I love to talk about because this makes my work enjoyable every single day, getting out
this
there
is and where you
the
beam.
Most to these
You just beam. I wish people could see you when you talk about this, because you do. You light up.
So what we're bringing to the Ridgeview community, the town of Heartland and Niagara County, is several fold. So we are starting with some workforce development opportunities, which will be a two-part training program in partnership with SUNY Environmental Science and Forestry out of Syracuse. Funneling into that program, we also offer annual $2,000 scholarships to both the Roy Hart and Barker school districts. And so far, we've had a student from the scholarship program go into construction management, as well as a pre-apprenticeship program for the Electric Workers Union. So we're proud to say we're, you know, directly contributing to the New York State workforce in this way. Some additional benefits would be we've brought solar car workshops to the Roy Hart School District. We partnered with New Yorkers for Clean Power, who had interns go to the school district to the STEM class there. And the students actually got to make their own solar cars, which they got to take home as well. We work on donating to local organizations whenever we can, whether it be local museums, firework displays, or teams associated with the school districts. We will be offering what we're calling a Sharing the Sun program. This will be an annual $40,000 donation program that local community groups or organizations can apply to. And then the selections will be chosen by a local review committee as well. And you know, to really accomplish all of these things, we do work with community partners whenever we can so that we're working with trusted local people.
That makes perfect sense, too.
And something that we also offer is a $100 a year electricity rebate for every household in the town of Heartland. So as part of winning this contract that we're so proud to say we just won, this mechanism will be applied as well. And there's also quite a few other financial benefits. There is $1 million per year that will be split between the town of Heartland, Niagara County, Barker, and the Roy Hart School Districts through payment in lieu of tax negotiations and host community agreements. And over $2 million for landowners hosting the project components. And we anticipate these to trickle down into the local economy and community as well.
Yeah, so I just wanted to add a couple of things. The $1 million per year for Heartland, Niagara County, Barker and Roy Hart school districts that Haley mentioned, and the $2 million for landowners, those are on an annual basis, escalating with time. So we had Pace University conduct a study, a socioeconomic study in the area to determine what this project would mean to the local economy. We all know that the landowners hosting project components receive compensation for using their land. But I think there's little known about what happens to the rest of the community. Does the rest of the community also benefit from the project? And so Pace found that there's some very significant benefits for the whole community at large. So for example, during construction and over the first 30 years of operation of the project would invest roughly $177 million plus up to an additional $50 million if the construction jobs were all sourced locally.
Nice.
So that's a very significant amount of money for the local community. So half of that money would go toward the landowners hosting the project components, and the other half goes to the rest of the community. So again, it's a large amount of funds or resources or revenues to the local community that's really spread out across a lot of different places.
And I guess to give us to blow our horn a little bit, that we have a podcast just for the PACE study. So wherever that's you found right. This podcast, maybe back out. And if you want to learn more about the PACE study, it's got to be right above us or right below us on the same website.
And I guess the last benefit that I will mention is the landowners. Again, there's more than 30 families participating in the project. We're still hoping to have more participation to host some of the collector lines and potentially some of the solar panels as well for the project. But for those 30 plus families, this is an important source of revenue for them. Again, it's a stable source of revenue. You know, it's a paycheck they know they're going to be getting every single year. You know, it allows them to keep the land in their family, gaining revenues on an annual basis. So I think that's pretty huge for people owning parcels of land to know that they can maintain that land in the family for, you know, one or two generations down the road.
And I was actually talking to some local folks about this, and man, I mean, I compared to the way things are right now and the way they're going to be, it's amazing. Kevin, for landowners that maybe still want to get involved, how do they do that?
Yeah, they would get in touch with us at the same numbers that Haley mentioned.
Okay.
So they can get in touch with us. We'd be more than happy to talk to them about the opportunity of them participating in the project if their land is in the right area.
So it's Niagara County. It's still not too late to get in. It's never too late, right?
No, it's really never too late to get involved in some way in the project. And something that we've been working hard on with the local community is integrating agrivoltaics, which is siting on the same piece of land, farming practices, and solar PV arrays. And we've been working, exploring many different options from not just sheep grazing, but bee foraging, and potentially trying to get really creative with what the local market has to offer. And if you've ever driven down, you know, Route 104 or Route 18, you see both of those roads just loaded with farm stands up and down it. And so, you know, we think that the project presents a great opportunity for people that want to take that one step further and have access to some, you know, potentially additional land at no cost to them, and see what we can make of this project with farming under the panels for the community as well.
So there might be a whole industry that we haven't figured out yet. Farming.
There's like, a lot of effort going into farming around solar panels.
Yeah, like,
and I think it's an untapped opportunity. We've been talking a lot about sheep in the last couple of years in this area, but I think we're going to find out more and more that there's other opportunities.
The project design that we get into is one of the, I mean, that's a challenge, is the setbacks, right?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, Mark, because one of the things that we want to have some good, honest conversations about with the community is are the setbacks from the project. So the town local law had some setbacks proposed in it. The Office of Renewable Energy Siting has some setbacks proposed in it. And so we need to find a way to compromise between those two things. And also in our conversations with the citizens of the area, the residents of Heartland. Well, one thing that's important to me is that we not take up more land than necessary for the project. And we do that by managing the setbacks. So on a rear lot or a side lot where there's no home nearby, to me, it doesn't make sense to have an onerous setback. You know, the state dictates either a 50-foot or 100-foot setback from a rear lot setback, a rear lot property boundary or a side lot property boundary, and then a 250-foot setback from homes. And the 250-foot setback from homes, we can have some conversations, you know, with the neighbors, incorporate visual buffers, you know, talk about how we design those visual buffers, talk about the setback itself and if there's any wiggle room there. And the last one I'll mention is, you know, the state has a 50-foot setback from the center line of a road, and we've seen a 100-foot setback from a center line of a road work really well in upstate New York, especially to give enough room for, you know, for snowbanks and for the visual buffers and the fences before you get to the panels. And so this, I think, is a topic that we're very keenly looking forward to having more conversations with the neighbors of the project.
What is a typical, and I know it changes, but what's a typical visual buffer that you're, so I can see it in my head?
Yeah, the visual buffers typically are trees.
Okay.
We don't typically build berms because that would have an effect on stormwater, for example. So we typically keep the land as is. But we'll plant trees where we want to have more visual buffering. There'll be some coniferous trees, but we like to have deciduous trees in the mix as well, and maybe some bushes too. And so we've had some designs that we've used on previous projects that we can consider here, and again, get some feedback from the public as well. There's some conversations we're having too around having maybe some sort of production with our visual buffers, you know, having trees that bear fruit or berries, for example, so that it's offering more than just the visual buffer. There's also some potential agricultural production there too.
How about a schedule? What are we looking at time-wise here? When are we going to see some solar panels on the ground up there?
Yeah, so what we're looking at time-wise is we still have a lot of field studies to conduct. We need to complete the project design. There's a lot of documents we need to put together to submit an application to the Office of Renewable Energy Siting under the Section 94C permitting process. So really, over 2022 and 2023, we would conduct a lot of this permitting work. We'd be engaging with the community, having a lot of conversations. As Haley mentioned, we've got a public meeting scheduled for the end of July. But that's not the only community engagement we'll have. You know, we'd love to have one-on-one, small group conversations, and potentially more public meetings as we start getting more information and details around the project and before we submit our application later in 2023. So then in 2024, the permit application would be reviewed by the state. by the town and its consultants. We should be in the position to receive a permit by the end of 2024. And then between 2024 and 2026, the project would be under construction and then starting operation either in 2025 or 2026 and continuing operation for 30 or more years.
So we got the project schedule. Where do we store all this stuff? Once we produce the electricity, what happens then?
Yeah, so once the electricity is produced, it goes straight onto the grid and it's consumed immediately by the demand that's on the grid. And whether that's somewhere near the local community, whether it goes over to Buffalo or Rochester, or even trickles down, you know, toward New York City, from the modeling that we've done, you know, most, if not all, the energy would be consumed within New York State. So just like how farmers grow crops or have dairy products and different things that serve both the local community and also the urban areas in the region, you know, it's the same thing with the electricity. So again, it's another parallel to farming. But in terms of energy storage, we were awarded a contract from NYSERDA that included 20 megawatts of energy storage. However, we have the option to integrate that energy storage or not integrate that energy storage. But if it is integrated with the project, it would be taken up about an acre of land and located near the project substation. So it would be, you know, very localized on 1 acre in one specific area.
Hmm. Interesting. And in another podcast, we address that energy storage and how it all works and where it comes from. It's still up in the air if you're even going to have energy storage, right? So 50-50.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And like you mentioned, there's a podcast with former fire, personnel who now work for a company called, Energy Safety, Resource Group. And they've been very, very good, attending our public meetings. And a couple years back, they had an information session for the local first responders in the region and some of the public officials as well, and you know, help diffuse a lot of the misinformation that was conveyed through the community about energy storage. And so these systems are designed at very high safety standards, and energy storage. I mean, there's lithium-ion batteries in many, many devices, including the cell phones that we carry in our pockets. And, you know, it's very similar technology to that.
Hmm. And that podcast.
And also in our July 27th public meeting, we'll have some representation from ESRG. So if there's members of the public who have questions about energy storage, we'll have people at our public meeting who will be there to answer their questions. And again, having that first responder background as well. So thanks, Mark, for having us here again today. It was great to catch up again after quite a few months since our last podcast together.
Yeah.
We're really looking forward to bringing this project to the community. And again, it's going to be a couple of years before we push shovel to the ground, but really looking forward to having some good in-depth conversations with a lot of people and trying to figure out, I think the bogeyman in the room is we've got 2,000 acres of land that is going to be pretty much untouched under solar panels. And it would be great to find ways to farm that land.
So why don't we give the contact info one more time, Haley?
Absolutely. You can reach our team at any time at our hotline, 833-333-7369, or our email at newyorksolar@edf-re.com.
Perfect.
Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.